Well, my guest tonight at the big table led an investment group to buy the Chicago Sun-Times, Edwin Eisendrath, and a slew of investors, including organized labor, put together a bid to buy the business that owns the Chicago Sun-Times and the Chicago Reader. This after a highly publicized bid process that revealed that Tronc, the company that owns the Tribune, also wanted to acquire the Sun-Times, which led to the Justice Department getting involved, and a bigger question about whether or not Chicago was going to become a one-newspaper town. Well, that conversation has been put on hold. Eisendrath, the former alderman and regional head of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, is now the CEO of the Chicago Sun-Times. What's it mean for the paper, and what can we expect from his leadership? CEO Edwin Eisendrath, my guest tonight at the big table. Mr. Eisendrath, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
It's very good to be here. Thank you.
So why'd you want to buy the Sun-Times?
Yeah.
let's get right into it.
Right? So I have been a reader of Sun-Times my whole life in Chicago. And I was, like a lot of people, Chicago's not a one newspaper town. It's not a one voice town. Never has been and should never be. I thought about this in December, and there wasn't really an opportunity. But then when the Tribune, when Tronc decided to eat the Sun-Times, I and a lot of other like-minded people thought that just can't be. We have to get together and we have to save this newspaper, and we have to do it for the reasons that are already baked into the DNA of the paper, which is that it's always sort of had the back of the working men and women of Chicago. And that's what we wanted to do. And we got a great group of investors that include, really significant support from organized labor, from local unions and the Chicago Federation of Labor, as well as individual investors, that range from lawyers and journalists to restructuring experts. So our team is as diverse as the economy of Chicago, which, if anybody knows our city, knows we have the most diverse economy of any city in America. Our investment team finally looks like the city and will be able to, to champion what goes on every day here in the city.
How do you convince Chicagoans who read news, who have left the Sun-Times or have decided that ownership hasn't reflected those views in the past, that you're legit in your in the words that you're saying,
right,
and not just sort of like seizing upon a marketing opportunity?
Well, if we're seizing on a marketing opportunity, it's one that I haven't heard people articulate very much. So, but you can look at our group. We sort of all of us come to this with a history in Chicago, and that's where it is. And it's the DNA of the paper. It's true that it hasn't always been there, but most of its history, it's been there.
Just think about recent history, Rupert Murdoch and others down the line. I mean, it's had various business owners over time.
It has, and that's been hardest on the staff and the journalists at the paper, even more than the reading public. It's been very tough on the people who work there to have been put through the transitions and changes and zigzagging that they've been through. I think they're stellar, and they've worked so hard to put out real journalism day in and day out through the pressures and the distractions of the, changing ownership. And in some cases, one previous owner in particular, really trying to interfere in the editorial side.
So, I mean, you guys were quick in your press conference right after the fact to make it clear that you and other investors, especially the organized labor part,
right,
were not going to have interference. This wasn't going to be a voice of progressive ideals or have interference from organized labor, as many at the paper have said. I mean, they have a history of aggressively reporting on unions. Is there going to be a firewall?
And they will continue to do so. We do have a firewall, and all of our union investors have signed up for that. They know what they're signing up for. But look, I listened to the segment before this. I think the realm of politics has gotten too big in America. Everything's viewed through a political lens. That turns out there are other ways to look at the world. And the most important way, and I think it will end up being the only thing that restores our politics, is if we start looking at our own lives and the lives of working men and women and reporting on them and the challenges they face and the enormous steps that people have taken to overcome. This last recession was hard on people. And we didn't tell their stories of people who lost their homes and got back on their feet. We didn't tell stories about the struggles that people go through every day. That's important.
Why do you think we didn't? I mean, are you assuming, are you sort of suggesting that corporate media doesn't just looks the other way? I mean, why do you think those stories weren't told?
I honestly don't know. I know, you look, in the 1930s when we had a terrible recession, right? We had John Steinbeck wrote Grapes of Wrath. He won a Nobel Prize, and Americans shared in the difficulties people were going through. What did we have? We had Iron Man. Right? We didn't have these stories told, and they need to be. They need to be for us to heal and for us to come back together and for us not to just view everything each other says through a political lens.
Politics plays out in newspapers, which is, yep. Chicago's been a two-newspaper town, and it's always sort of fallen down in this way. The line is partisan, meaning you had a more conservative view of the world from the Tribune and a more progressive, liberal view of the world from the Sun-Times. Will it stay that way? I mean, is that what you're trying to preserve, an idea of...
I want to be careful how I answer this, because in my... First off... To get back to the firewall question, we have a point of view, but a point of view doesn't extend to telling the journalist what to write or telling the editorial guys what to write. But it is a point of view we want to have, and that point of view is grounded in the lives of everyday Chicagoans and the work and the struggles they go through. And we are holding to that. To the extent that that plays out in the political realm, that, you know, in my lifetime, there have been Republicans who fit in that bowl and Democrats who fit in it. And it changes over time. Yeah. This is what we're holding to.
Edwin Eisendrath's in studio. He's the CEO of the Sun-Times. He's led an investment group to purchase the Sun-Times a couple weeks back now. We'll take a quick break, come back. Let's talk about the challenges of owning a media company in 2017.
You bet.
Not necessarily the easiest business to get into. Edwin Eisendrath, my guest tonight at the Big Table. Stay with us. My guest in studio tonight at the Big Table here on 720 WGN, Edwin Eisendrath, the new CEO of the Chicago Sun-Times. He and an investment group, including Organized Labor, just bought the Chicago Sun-Times. Big press conference not too long ago. You're moving over to the West Loop. That's a good move, right? In the Goodwill building there.
Yep.
I know it's got a fancy name, but
something else. Yeah.
Let's talk about the your background. I mean, you're Harvard educated, public servant in the way that you're also a businessman, but you know, your claim to fame is regional head of HUD.
Yeah.
An alderman in the 43rd ward.
Yeah.
What is it about buying a media company, put the Sun-Times aside for a second, that seems like a natural transition for you?
I'm not sure it's a natural transition for anyone these days, right? But, I work, what you didn't say is the last dozen years of my life, I've worked all over the world, in cities all over the world. And I've looked at their media, and some of it's state-owned, and you see what happens. Some of it's run by political parties. You see what happens. I love the idea of a free press. I think it's enormously important for who we are. It helps us see ourselves better. I'm also deeply committed to my city. And I don't think, we've done very well when young, talented people move here from Milwaukee and from Minneapolis and from Ohio and Indiana, and they're all drawn to Chicago because it's a great city. But the truth is, we're not competing against Milwaukee and Cleveland and Detroit. We're competing against Shanghai and Moscow and Berlin and London. And Chicago has to do a lot to stand up to that and be able to compete in the world. And I've seen a lot of that. So I want to come home and help our city face its challenges and get where it needs to go.
A lot of what we've seen from media has homogenized. I mean, we've seen corporations take over media companies left and right. I mean, there doesn't seem to be much of an independent spirit to media companies these days.
On that note, let me go back to what we talked about in the earlier segment. We are not an enormous media company. The group that purchased the Sun-Times, these are Chicagoans from a broad spectrum of our economy. This isn't a media company that has 70 properties and we're just plopping one more in.
Right.
We're passionate about this city. We're passionate about the people who work here and who struggle to make their lives here. And that's the paper we want to build. I think that's a great start for building
a newspaper. How do you do that? I mean, and let me just play devil's advocate on the idea that Okay. I appreciate, I think everybody in Chicago appreciates that you guys want to invest in a good standing institution that is the Chicago Sun-Times.
Yep.
How do we trust you guys to run a media company and not kind of run it into the ground? Okay. And
absolutely fair question. It's a tough business, really tough business. So the answer has two tracks to it. The first is, in any news organization, you have to build a community of people who trust that you will give them news that feels genuine and that is honest and that has the journalistic standards, right? That's one and has to happen. Can't be compromised. It's 100% what we have to do. Then there's the business side, right? The business side of journalism has changed enormously. And I think we are at the end of 10 or 15 incredibly terrible years for the news business, mostly newspapers,
right?
And the newspaper business has been miserable, really terrible. But news now is not terrible. And Americans are consuming news in a way they haven't done in a long time. And they're consuming it, and they're really curious about what's really happening, and they're curious about it. Certainly everybody's talking about what's going on in Washington, but they're curious about it in their own communities. So you see a wide range of new news sources that feed that need. So news isn't a bad business. So the real question you're asking on the business side is, can a traditional newspaper make it in this new news world?
Yeah, right.
Right? And so what we did on day one, we acquired two companies, right? We acquired the Sun-Times and the Reader in one company, and Answers Media, a fully equipped digital media studio, on the other. And we're putting them together, and we will be pushing content out in very new ways to meet news consumers where they are with a news product that they trust will have their backs.
Everyone, I mean, I will say, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I trust the writers and the staff and the journalists that are at Sun-Times, always have.
Yep.
Great people come on the show. They're tremendous.
Yep.
They tell Chicago's story, and I don't have any qualms about that. Management, on the other side, and I think of ownership more, has been in this chair before saying, we got to get into the digital world. We're going to change websites. We're going to think of this company in a different way. You know, when you talk about that, and we usually hear that kind of talk from tech leaders, mm-hmm, from mm-hmm, incubators, from mm-hmm, startups mm-hmm. that say, I have a new idea, mm-hmm. but not necessarily from former aldermen.
Well,
So my point is, fair question.
And there's a little bit of gap in my CV.
But
I am not encumbered by being historically a newsman. Right. I have not run a newspaper before. And the group that I brought in is not coming from the traditional newspaper industry. We're bringing to this an open mind. And some of the mistakes that were made in the past were made by people who wanted to make this digital transition.
Yeah, right.
And they were certain they knew the right thing to do. And they bet the farm on it and they ended up being wrong. Right. So I come at this the way an entrepreneur comes at a business, which is to say, we're going to de-risk some of the decisions so that we can try these really interesting things with a little humility, right? And grow the ones that are growing. I think anyone who thinks they know what the internet is like and what it's doing is wrong. And if they're certain they're right, and if they are right, they'll be wrong tomorrow because it evolves so fast.
The model, and we'll talk about this after the news as well, I got you for the hour, but the model that newspapers has run on and what they've tried to do to transition to a digital space has failed across the board. I mean, you're seeing some uptick in paywalls and subscriptions and that kind of form.
Right.
But we have, in the last, as you mentioned, 10, 15 years, it's pretty terrible in the way that we've seen there was a bet that there would be advertising there. There isn't.
Right.
There's a bet that people would want to pay in. They're not.
Right.
So at what point, what's working in the industry right now? What from your vantage point, not being someone who's a newsman who's in there,
right,
when you look at the books, you say, well, this is working. People are still paying 75 cents what is working in the newspaper?
You're seeing more native advertising that's working. The creative side, you know, you have to value. Forever, newspapers have had a sales staff, and they've said, go sell. Any ad that you can get, really, you know, and a lot of it's classified, or they wanted big auto ads, right? You now have to say, we're going to build a kind of advertising capacity that's creative and interesting, that you can then feed out to people the ads they want, not the junk they don't want, right? And that then more fit for purpose. It's more valuable both to the advertisers and to the consumers and to the news company. And you're starting to see things like that. I mean, the truth is we come at this at a great time. We come at it where the industry's made a whole bunch of bets and we've seen what's worked and what hasn't worked. Most of it hasn't. So we don't have to double down on what, you know, what everybody else has done wrong. And we'll make our own mistakes, right? But they won't be the huge bets you've seen in the past. And we're beginning to see, you know, really interesting and successful paths that we can jump on.
Edwin Eisendrath, my guest tonight, the new CEO of the Chicago Sun-Times, led an investment group, including organized labor, to purchase the Sun-Times. It was a big story here in the last couple of weeks here in Chicago, keeping it a two-newspaper town for now. All right, so let's take a break for the news tonight. We come back. I want to talk about that. I've been in the meetings about the sunsetting of traditional journalism or traditional media. And journalism will always be there. But the idea of whether or not, you know, it's time to move to a digital platform, whether or not in 5-10 years there will be a newspaper that will be there. So let's talk about, when we come back after the news, let's talk about what you see for the future of the Sun-Times, whether or not there will be a printed Sun-Times in front of us when we get on the train in the near future. Edwin Eisendrath, my guest tonight at the Big Table. Stay with us.
A state.
Thanks, Rob. It is The Download. It's WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio tonight, the Big Table, Edwin Eisendrath. He's the CEO of the Chicago Sun-Times. He led the investment group that just purchased the Sun-Times. Thanks in part to the Justice the Department coming in and saying, hold up, Trunk. Hold up. In studio tonight, Edwin Eisendrath. All right, so let's talk about where you see the future distribution of this.
Yep. So
you're right into it. You know, you've been chomping at the bit.
One of the really interesting things about, I mean, a lot of what we've talked about so far, stuff that I knew before I took the job, right? This, I've had the job all of about a week, right? And I've been overwhelmed with inbound communication from people who are grateful that this happened. Chicago has really got our backs, you know, and I hope we have theirs in return. But it's been very moving. But what's the reason I bring this up in answer to this question? So a woman says, I can't thank you enough for doing this. My dad was a longtime Sun-Times reader, you know, working class family from the Southwest side, and we know you've got our backs. And how did she tell me that? On Twitter, right? So you know, the values endure, but the platform changes, right?
Yeah.
So if people are meeting us that way, we're going to meet them that way. If people, you know, we have the capacity now to, in this studio that we're bringing together, to make radio, to do things that can be broadcast on television, to push stuff out onto the web in different ways, and to start to bring the talent in, and this is something that we're adding to the team, but that can do the math, right, on the internet to understand what people are looking at, what people are reading, what they're interested in, so that we can start to connect them, not just on the news side, but after all, on the ad side that pays for it.
And you've talked about it through a media, about the idea of Answers Media answering that digital question. But does that mean the end of the print paper of the Sun-Times?
Well, I can't speak 5 years out. It doesn't mean it right away. You know, this is Chicago and not everybody has broadband. You know, we have an obligation to meet people where they are. And today, people are still in the, look, I want a newspaper. Some because they just love it and want it. Some because it's the only thing they can get for the news. And as long as that's what they want, you know what? We're going to meet them there. But at the same time, a whole lot of people, and we talked about this, I think, during the break. I take the L downtown, right? When I took the L 20 years ago, everybody had a newspaper, usually the Sun-Times. It was easier to read on the L, right? Now, everybody's got a phone. And they're not even looking at each other. Yeah. They're all looking at their phones.
There's no print. There's no paper.
Right.
Even laying around.
Right. And people are reading news. I look over their shoulder sometimes, you know, but but it's not a paper. So we're going to meet them where they are. And I don't think that it's uninteresting to me from a, you know, news sense, what platform we're on. It's very interesting from a business sense, how you do that efficiently and sustainably.
I guess, I mean, let's say that the numbers say that everybody is on a digital platform. Are you ready to be the CEO that says in Chicago history that, that pulls the plug on printing up a Chicago Sun-Times?
Sure. I mean, you're asking a very hypothetical question because Chicago isn't there yet. But if Chicago gets there, you know what? We'll get there. This is not a business for dinosaurs. This is a business for people who, you know, who want to take news where it's going. Now, if you ask a different question, which is if Chicago doesn't care about working men and women anymore and only cares about the rich and famous and gossip and celebrities and, you know, and that kind of stuff, would I take the paper there? I'd rather jump in the lake in February than that. You know, that's not happening.
Very Chicago answer right there. You know, one of the problems, and it's not even a problem, one of the challenges of any media company is that the media company that you inherit has a staff that has been bounced around from owner to owner, and there's been, I mean, in the last 5 years, we've seen so much from the photo department layoffs to changing job descriptions to you're doing it wrong to being thrown under the bus. There's a lot that goes into what the Chicago Sun-Times staff and the Chicago Reader staff has had to go through. When you talk about staff and you talk about the next push, I mean, there is going to be some pushback when you start talking about meeting people where they're at, because the fact is that that changes the job description.
Yep,
it change.
Yep,
it might
yep.
even outside or downsize or move people out of your company that are doing one particular thing that, that is not needed anymore. I mean, there is definitely going to be change. How do you deal with a staff that has seen so much change? And like you said, bet the farm in some forms and it didn't work. So change that was worth was almost meaningless. But how do you get? How do you find the motivation to have a staff go through more change?
Right. Well, again. So first, one of the things that makes the Sun-Times special, these challenges that the writers, the journalists, and the non-journalist staff have been through the last few years are not unique to the Sun-Times, but many people in Chicago where they work have had these kinds of experience. So we can connect viscerally with the experience that a lot of Chicagoans have had. And when I talk to people there about that and they reflect on their own experience, you know what? They double down on wanting to report on the lives of people in Chicago and what they've been through. I think they are very motivated to be successful with
but
that.
You can only count on that as far as they can stay awake, meaning you spread them thin,
so they understand the business they're in, right? And they want to be successful. And it's up to us working with not two staff, not two regs, but with them to get to where we want to go. And you know, I'm in the newsroom every day. I'm in the building. Imagine my labor partners. You know, they understand what people go through in these changes. We're very sympathetic to that, and we think if we talk about it right, and we help people see the direction we're going in, and we lay out the case, which we'll do, people are eager to get there. You know, I think we're going to get the benefit of the doubt. I don't see anywhere inside people in the Sun-Times who are saying, you know what? We've had a great run. We just want to keep doing it exactly the way we're doing it. Mm-hmm. I think they know that that's not a path to success. And they're saying, come on, let's take these next steps. I'm very encouraged. I think they've been through a lot and there's nothing to cut anymore. That's not on the table, right? So now the question is, what do we change to move forward?
I mean, you inherit not only the Sun-Times, but the Reader. And the Reader just publicly went through a lot of labor negotiation,
continue to go through it.
I mean, they put that piece together where they put their salaries on the window. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Salaries are paltry. I mean, they're so small.
Let's look at what we don't inherit, right? I don't inherit a printing plant. I don't inherit a building. I don't inherit a lot of debt, right? We have a company that we can move. You know, and that's really interesting, right? The sort of legacy stuff that keeps you from making changes, that's all been sold off. That's all been thrown away in the past. Now we just have talented people, right? And I think talented people can do anything.
You are in a city that famous designer or urban planner said, make no small plans.
That's right.
Do you see a company that makes no small plans. I mean, are you going to redefine, so, reconfigure the way that the Sun-Times works?
Yeah. So Daniel Burnham, No Small Plans, mm-hmm. wrote these beautiful plans. And he has this book, and it's a beautiful book, right? Chicago doesn't look like his plans. If we had built his plans, Chicago would have been the last great city for horse and buggy, and you would have had no room for cars, and we'd have choked to death, right? So you have to be careful about these bets you make.
Right.
On the other hand, his vision for the city held, right? His plans didn't, but his vision did. And that is enormously important when you look at the future. So we know where we want to go. And leaving aside the tools and the technologies and the ad strategies and that are going to help pay for all of this, the vision piece about news that has the backs of regular Chicagoans, you know what? That's not common these days. I mean, Americans don't trust news they think is elite. I love the New York Times. I love the Washington Post. I think they do great journalism. But across a large chunk of America, you know, because they're on the East Coast, they think they're elite. Chicago is the greatest place in the country now to do news and to connect with people at a really genuine level. And we think if we hold to that, that is making no small plans, because you're going to connect with people in Chicago and we're successful here. I think that is a very expandable place to be.
Bruce Sagan was in here not too long ago, mm-hmm. about a year ago. We mm-hmm. talked to him, who's the chairman at Rapports. And he laid a, we talked a lot about the business as it is now, the media business, and he said that it's kind of a false equivalency to say the rivalry between the Tribune and Sun-Times is, you know, makes and breaks either business, especially now that the internet is at play. They're more interested in competing and taking it to places like Google or Facebook.
Right. So Google and Facebook have taken the money out of the news business.
So how do you do? I mean, you know that. So, you're a guy from not in the news business.
So the Tribune and the Sun-Times are rivals for trust and affection. And in the end of the day, in news, whether it was the guy in the fire in front of the cave, you know, saying the lion's to the left and the mastodon's to the right, if you don't trust him, he's sending you to the lion and he's going to get the food to himself. Right. So trust is a big part of this. And that's the Tribune Sun-Times thing. But the economics, you have to think about Google, you have to think about Facebook. WBEZ does fabulous journalism. They're in the same market, right? There's a lot of people competing for news, no question. And we're going to compete on all of these platforms.
I understood. But how do you, as a businessman coming in, knowing that the business that you've bought into, that you've invested into, has some Goliaths, when it comes to Facebook and Google, that have sucked the money out. When you talk about that, what they're doing is they've changed the ad formulas. They are now the dominant players, and they're almost in a small, quiet way choking all of the local news companies. How do you deal with that?
We can be sustainable and even profitable without having to put Google and Facebook out of business. You know, that my business plan does not require that they go out of business. There's room for this. Then there's room to make money in this business. There isn't, you know, we're not aiming to do to everybody in news what those companies have done. But there are now strategies, and we talked about a couple of companies that do this. When you do the kind of ads and you do the kind of metrics, you do the kind of math, and you make your stuff available on mobile platforms, whatever that may be, and that's changing too as we speak, yeah. right? To get people the news they want. The core is news that matters, and then meeting them on all these platforms with the right math and the right strategies so you can support it with revenue.
All right, so we're getting close to the end here. I have a couple of questions for you. I'll represent Chicago here. What would you say is your best characteristic when it comes to being a CEO, a leader?
Humility. I think, you know, I don't go into this pretending I know everything about the internet or the news business. I know an enormous amount about Chicago, and I know a lot about managing change. I've done it in many places in my life, and about innovation and startups. I've done a few of those in my life. And you know what? You have to be able to, one of the key questions you asked is, are the people going to at the paper going to sit down and and not want to move forward, you know, helping to articulate a vision and share where we want to go is going to help get us there. I also really know good talent and rely on them. And I'm not afraid of people who are really smarter than me. I love that. And we're going to bring them in and we're going to, and if some are already there, you know, and we're going to work with them and get the job done.
Edwin Eisendrath is the CEO, the new CEO of the Chicago Sun-Times. He led the investment group, including organized labor, to purchase the Sun-Times just this past month. I guess it has been. Edwin Eisendrath, good luck with the, being in the news business. And we look forward to continuing
the conversation.
Come
see our new studio and what we're going to do out of there.
We'll do. Thanks for being here tonight.
You bet. Thank you.